Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here today with Maria Elena Rossi, who's the Director of Marketing Promotion for ENIT, which is the Italian Tourist Board. And as we get back to going to Italy, we're going to be doing a series here of both articles and interviews to get you get ready your clients for, to get back to Italy right now. You can go right now. We're going to learn all about that and more. And today we're going to focus on two cities in particular, Milan and Venice, but we'll talk more with Maria about that. And you're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Maria, how are you and where are you?
Ciao to everyone. I'm presently in Rome in our headquarters, which are based close to the central station of Rome, Roma Termini. And I'm in full speed restarting the tourism season for this this fall after having experienced a great summer season, I must say, in all the country, both north with our beautiful lakes and center of Italy, Tuscany, Umbria, Marche, and Abruzzo, and of course the islands and our southern regions, Amalfi Coast and Puglia and Sicily and Sardinia. So we are now looking ahead for the fall and the winter.
No, that's great. And it's great you had a fantastic summer season. I know a lot of Americans I know were eager to get back to Italy. And, you know, they traveled domestically last year because that's all they could do. But now they had they really wanted to get back and rediscover Italy. And I know hopefully that's what you've experienced. Now, let's talk a little bit about the requirements that U.S. travelers have to meet if they do want to visit Italy today. What do they have to do?
Well, there is a distinction between those who are vaccinated with a full vaccination certificate and those who are not. So in case you are fully vaccinated, you have to fill in a digital passenger locator form, which is pretty easy to do. And you have to take a molecular or antigenic test. Okay. 72 hours before arrival. And these are the requirements for the people who are fully vaccinated and have EMA certificate or a EU green pass, which are actually equivalent. For those who are not vaccinated, there is a requirement for self-isolation for 5 days, okay, plus a test before starting normal life after these 5 days. So these are the, let's say, the requirements at the moment.
Yeah, and so you can use a U.S. vaccination card as proof?
You can. You do because it's equivalent to our green pass, what it's called, the EU green pass, yes.
No, I think you guys look a lot more official than us these days because we have these little flimsy pieces of paper that I'm very worried I'm either going to lose or fold and mutilate soon because I've been using it so much. But it is really the only thing you need to go to Europe right now, really, as we say, is a vaccination card. Fill out the health declaration form and get a PCR or an antigen test. So it's not that complicated.
No, it is not. It is not. In fact, we are seeing many, many American travelers in Italy at the moment, luckily in our art cities and also in our iconic areas such as the Amalfi Coast where I was last week.
No, and I love the Amalfi Coast. And I know a lot of our viewers, U.S. travel advisors, many of them are flocking to Italy to check it out again, to get ready, you know, get their clients ready to get there. So it is, they figured it out and they can make, you know, help their clients figure it out. Now let's talk a little bit about, you know, once you get to Italy, are most of the attractions, the historical sites, hotels and resorts, are they open?
They are. They reopened in June already, some in May. We have been the first European country to reopen to international travelers. And since then, most of the attractions and now all attractions are open, provided most of the times, which is a suggestion when it's not the let's say compulsory, is to book up front, right, or and to reserve your ticket so that you can better plan all the visits that are now available. So I must say that also events have restarted, and as I earlier said, well, we of course had the EU soccer competition, which was in June, and which Italy has been winning, has won against Britain and also England, and we have enjoyed many other events during the summer, and many more are now in place. So events, of course, with all the necessary precautions, all people have to be to have a green card, right, when you participate to events, so that's compulsory, of course. But all our attractions are open, museums and other attractions and archaeological sites, Pompeii, the Colosseum, and Foro Romano, Foro Imperiale in Rome, and the San Marco Cathedral is open.
No, that's great. So nothing is closed. And I was in Europe during the EU champions, and I actually watched Italy beat England. I believe I was in Athens at the time, but so it was quite the event. And I believe you said earlier to me off camera before we started that you're getting ready for the Venice Film Festival, right?
Well, absolutely. Yes, the film festival actually is now is going on. It will close its doors with the winner of this festival on Saturday. So actually, that's a great event, which is also has been taking place last year with restrictions, of course, COVID restrictions. But as I said, it's social distancing, wearing a mask inside, which is compulsory in Italy, and in for large events, of course. The social distancing is provided by the organizers. So right. We will know on Saturday who will win this year as the best film of the International Film Festival.
Well, I've always wanted to go to that, but I guess I've missed it this year. But for all of you out there understanding that there are events, big events like Venice Film Festival going on in Italy, and people are going. So let's talk
about excuse me for interrupting, but I just, because it took place in Rome, we had the International Golf Open in Rome, which took place in the iconic Marco Simone, which will host the Ryder Cup in 2023. So it was the first time that international competition golfing took place in this venue, in this golf course. And so, very much looking forward to that. So it just ended yesterday.
And then you have the Ryder Cup coming up later next year, is that?
In 2023. So next year we will have the International Italian Open again. And then in 2023, the Ryder Cup, yes.
There you go. That's great news. That's great news that all this is happening. Now, what are the advantages of traveling to Italy right now? It sounds like you've been pretty busy. So we used to say there are fewer crowds because people aren't there, and maybe there's slightly fewer crowds, but it sounds like you've been doing okay. So you might have to be ready for at least a few people showing up.
Absolutely, yes. The advantage of visiting now Italian cities in particular has certainly to do with less crowded neighborhoods, less crowded attractions, less crowded restaurants. So let's say being more able to live like a local. We've always been used to say that is makes a difference, and at the moment it's true because Italians, like Americans, have been traveling domestically this year as well. We actually are experiencing a much more, let's say, authentic experiences in the different neighborhoods of the city. So I do think that it is an advantage at the moment, particularly visiting the most famous attractions and the art cities as well.
No, that's great, but I wouldn't wait long, because you look like you're getting back to normal tourism pretty quickly.
Yes, well, yes, although some markets are still not open, let's say, their doors to visiting our country. And we have a good mix at the moment of domestic traveling and international travelers, mostly European travelers and US travelers and Canadian travelers traveling to our country. Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit. We did talk about this before, but how safe in terms of health and safety can American travelers feel when traveling in Italy today? Is everyone observing the protocols, mask wearing, things like that? I know I was in a recent European city that I won't mention, but almost nobody is wearing masks. And I don't know if that's what people are doing in Italy or what is the regime they follow?
Well, first of all, we must say that well over 70% of the population has a complete vaccination cycle, and this of course is good news because you of course feel safer. But I must say that as we demonstrated also last year when we started with the pandemic in March, we were the first to be free of all restrictions, thanks to the respecting the rules. And this is something that we really have proven to be able to do. So I must say that when compulsory, people are wearing masks, again, most the green pass is now compulsory in many situations, and Italians are respecting absolutely what they have to do. So feeling safe means of course also respecting the rules yourself when you're traveling. Right. So this is what we expect also travelers to do in our country. We also, in terms of numbers of positive, we have really numbers which are the lowest you can find in Europe at the moment, thanks to the high number of vaccinated people and the respect of all the compulsory rules that have been enforced by our government.
No, that's great. You sound like you're doing a lot better than us right now, to be honest with you. We seem to have a resurgence here, but not with vaccinated people, but obviously people are getting a little more concerned now here in the U.S. But let's talk about the destinations we want to focus on today, which are Milan and Venice. First of all, just tell us what's going on in Milan today. What's it like traveling there?
Milan today, if you talk about today, is absolutely exciting because the Design Week has restarted. After 1 year of stop in 2020, it just started a few days ago in the weekend, and the city is absolutely vibrant because both, let's say, the Salone Off, which is the Milano Off Design Week, has really invaded all courtyards of historic palaces and of the modern new areas and neighborhoods of the city. So at the moment, actually, it's a great time to be in Milan, and it will take place until next weekend. And the restaurants are mostly open, and all related to this Design Week atmosphere, hosting designers, hosting events, exhibitions. So I must say that all the city has been participated to the relaunch of the city itself by reopening venues which were also have been closed earlier. So we do expect mostly events happening outside, of course. I'm talking about courtyards, gardens, right, parks, so in that respect, of course, the shift has been more to outside locations, and thanks God the weather is beautiful. So everything can take place in the most safe and but also very exciting way. I mean, Milano has been investing a lot in terms of sustainability and sustainable also transportation means, or bike lanes, and it is placed decided to plant over 3 million trees by the end of 2030. So I mean, it has been really investing a lot during the pandemic in a new approach to sustainable life, first of all for its citizens, but also for visitors from all over the world. So I think this Design Week is really a wonderful way to restart the city. We will be also hosting in October the World Routes, which is the event putting together all airports in the world and aviation sector. So it will be hosted in October. We've been working very hard to this bid, and finally it was supposed to happen last year. It will happen in October with great events around in the nicest cultural and historic venues of the city.
No, that's great. So you got these events going. It's helping you restart. And as we said today, all the attractions in Milan are now open, ready, and Americans can go there. And maybe tell us a few they really should go to this time. I mean, are there some that maybe some that we don't know about that are kind of special?
Well, Milan has been the most vibrant city of Italy. We know that because of this skyline that is changing every day, feeling more like in a European modern city, like more than another Italian city, which are more related to the past. And Milan has been looking to the future, developing really new areas. And especially these green areas that are now reopened, where you can really see the new skyscrapers growing every day. And I really think that for a traveler who hasn't visited Milan since 2 years, especially American travelers, they will really find a new landscape and that is in front of their eyes. So I really do think that that's the city to be now.
So you got to see the whole city as it's developing. That's great. Now, and once again, I mean, all the hotels and restaurants, they're open. I can't imagine going to Milan without being able to go to restaurants, because that's one of the reasons to go.
Most restaurants also have reopened within hotels. Right. So you will find wonderful rooftops in the main new hotels. With the star chefs, and this has been a great investment which had already started before the pandemic. So rooftops, you should really plan each evening at least one cocktail and one dinner in a different rooftop of the city of the city's hotels.
No, I didn't know that. You have gotten into the rooftop craze too, so that's great. But it's wonderful to watch the city like that.
Yes.
Now, in terms of using Milan as a base to visit other Italian towns and cities nearby, what would you recommend? You know, what are the places around that they could use Milan as a hub?
You have several interesting cities around Milan. Well, first of all, think about Como and Como Lake, right, which is a wonderful area to visit at this time of the year, by the way. And you can reach this area also by train very easily, as much as you have Monza with its royal park and its royal residence, which is also half an hour by train from the city itself, and not forgetting Bergamo. Bergamo is a city which is also has a very large airport, but it's again very easy to reach from the city center of Milan by train, and it's a historic city which has been built on top of a hill. And it really has many surprises, both in terms of history and culture, but also in terms of on food and wine. Of course, I mean, Franciacorta, the Franciacorta area, which is close to the Lago di Iseo, to Iseo Lake, is also a wonderful place to visiting all the different vineyards of one of the of our best sparkling wines that you can have in Italy, and not only internationally.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to do that one time out of Milan. We went up to the vineyards up near the lakes, and they were amazing. The wine was great, and it really was. You know, I've been to Como many times. I love Como, but then you go over to Lake Garda and all that, and you're finding all these wonderful, wonderful wines. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, generally speaking, we have a very efficient train network, which is both a high-speed train connecting all the main cities from Torino, Milano, Venice, going down to Bologna, Florence, Rome and Naples, and they're all connected. So just to give you an example, Rome and Milano are connected by high-speed train in 3 hours. And again, going from Milan to Venice, it's less than 2 hours with right. high-speed train. So in fact, I mean, the high-speed connection is very convenient and very safe. You do need a green card or a certificate, a vaccination certificate now since this month to enter a high-speed train. Okay. But I mean, this also makes it more safe for the people traveling, and there is social distancing, which is respected because all trains are now full, only half the capacity. So that makes it even more comfortable and more safe to travel.
No, I was lucky enough to a couple of years ago. It seems like it was last year, and of course we forget about last year. In 2019, I was in Italy for about 3 weeks and going all over on mostly high speed trains, Italo train. Trenitalia, and they're all wonderful, and it gets you around very easily. But it is really so easy to get around Italy today. Let's talk a little bit. Are there any other things that you can suggest to make a traveler's experience Milan today in the best way? The key to make them really truly enjoy their time in Milan.
Well, as I said, I think you really Milan is the city of fashion and the city of design. And it's internationally recognized, and really tracking down all the boutiques and all the design ateliers that are around at the moment, I think is really the experience that everyone should do after years of being stuck and only watching through the internet all these Italian designers and Italian fashion.
No, absolutely. It is the town of fashion. Now, let's turn to one of my personal favorites, Venice, which, you know, is such a great destination that every American should see if they haven't already. What is different, if anything, about visiting Venice today?
Well, again, Venice, as all cities, I talked about Milan working on sustainable transportation and sustainable development policies. Also, Venice has worked hard in this direction, trying also to extend the visit not only to, let's say, the main island, but also to all the islands around, which are now very well to be experienced also by more sports people on a canoe, and that's something that I really would suggest to many of you who might be interested to see from the water not only the, let's say, the canals in Venice, but also the Burano, Murano, and all okay. other islands around. At the moment, the city of Venice has reopened since May the Biennale of Architecture, which has also been a very vibrant event, which takes place all over the city, reopening the university, reopening all the ancient the palaces, hosting different exhibitions. So the Biennale will finish by the end of October. And so you still, for those who are lucky, they still will have the time to visit and to live within the different events that have been taking place. So at the moment, as I said, the Venice Film Festival is on, and so that again is giving, let's say, a nice feeling of restart to the whole city. So the restaurants are open, right. And as much as the museums and the new venues, which have reopened after 1 year of stop last year. Most of them are hosting, as I was saying earlier, events related to the Biennale of Architettura, which is presently on until the end of October. So again, what is interesting is the feeling that we are living much more outdoors than we were used to do earlier. And this makes the city interesting, even more interesting now. So being able to visit l'Isola di San Giorgio, La Giudecca, Le Fondamenta Nuove. So being able actually to stroll around and get lost in Venice, and being able to get your cicchetto, you know, which is the typical food that the Venetians are eating, and accompanying with the Prosecco, sparkling white wine. And you will find these kind of experiences, food experiences, while strolling around in I Bacari, which are the trattoria. So that's the name that you are given to the trattorias in Venice. So actually, I've been there several times since June, and I will be back this weekend for the closing of the film festival. And I must say that the experience, if I can say a word, when you stroll around in Venice, Venice is elegant again.
Right.
Yeah, the people you see strolling around and having their Prosecco is a more elegant crowd than we used to experience when, you know, the tourism in certain times of the year was too much, sometimes feeling too much. Actually, the concentration was in some areas. I mean, what is interesting now is that all of us are looking for off the beaten track walks and areas of cities, which we were not seeing before, but they were there earlier, but now we are more interested ourselves in not looking for, well, most of the people are walking or visiting. And the Biennale itself has been distributed along all Venice, in all the different neighborhoods, and also around the islands around. So that makes it also more interesting to go and look for the different venues which are open.
Well, I always go to Venice. I by habit, I have to go to Piazza San Marco once, but I try to pick a time when maybe it's not as busy. And most of the time I try to spend other time on the islands and just lose myself in Venice, because you'll always get to someplace, you know. You just have to keep walking through the alleyways and in the canals and you'll finally find yourself. But, you know, it's a wonderful place to explore, and just don't worry if you lose yourself. You'll find yourself. You'll find some place that you'll like in the end, and you'll find your way back, because there are some signs. You'll find it.
Definitely.
Let's talk about it. And I know recently we understand that, you know, one of the things, they've limited cruise travel. And I just heard the other day that now day travel into Venice might be limited as well, which actually would be good news for people who want to stay in Venice and really experience it, I would think.
The approach to visitor management for cities so fragile and world UNESCO heritage is a great issue, is an important issue, because if we have learned something from this pandemic, it's certainly that there are our planet is fragile, but also our city and our historic heritage needs to be preserved. And I think it's in the interest both of the city itself and the visitors to be able to better manage tourism flows. And that means also, you know, not making it impossible for people to visit. But it's like visiting a museum. When you think about Venice, it's like visiting a museum. You have sometimes which are more crowded, when it's better not to visit, and sometimes where it's easier to visit. So that means better distributing in time and space the tourism flows. And that is in the interest both of the experience of the tourist and of the city itself, and also preserving, if you want, the life of citizens. You know, we know how important it is for citizens to live in their own cities, to be able to grow their children and to have a normal life, and combining that with tourism, which is an important resource for jobs and also for the economy of the cities themselves, especially our historic cities, which are so fragile. So I do think that the biggest challenge that we have to face is to balance economic development with sustainability. And I think to find this balance has to do a lot with trying to work together, both the cities with the tourism organizations and all the tourism industry in this direction. So it's a challenge. Venice is trying to handle better in some times of the year when the city can be more crowded, and somehow also making the experience less interesting for the tourism itself. So it is trying to develop a visitor management approach with, of course, trying out the best system to do that, sure. And of course, day trippers have been impacting a lot in the experience of the city. And in that respect, being able to plan, to better plan also for day trippers when it is the best time to enter, and because it is not crowded, what is the best time of the day, what is the best time of the year. So in that respect, I think we just have to get used to some more planning in our lives than we were used to do before. And this, I think, it not only applies to Venice, but to other cities in the world, which suffer from a lot of pressure from tourists concentrated in some times of the year. I mean, it's not all year round. So it just has to do with planning. I think we do it for everything in our lives. So we should also do it sometimes when we really want to visit such a unique place as Venice, but we can say the same for Florence or for other Italian cities.
Of course. Well, you know, it's funny, just over a year ago, before pre-COVID, everyone was talking about over tourism, and you know, Venice was a city that was often mentioned, and I think they've done a good job initially to look at, you know, how the impact of you know, visitors come, whether it's by cruise ship or whether it's by day trippers, and to really improve the experience for everybody there. And you know, and I do think, you know, it's much better if you can stay in Venice and explore and have time and really enjoy the city than just going in for a day or even for a few hours on a cruise ship. But, and that said, I love the cruise ship. It's fine, but it's a different way to see Venice. So I totally agree with you that it's great that they are now they're taking different approaches with Venice. And I guess in that vein, you want to stay in Venice, but there's also the opportunity to use Venice, even Venice, as a hub. Where can you go from Venice for a quick trip? You know, you do your own day trip from Venice somewhere.
Yes, you can do that. You can do so. So you can do reverse. Most people come from other cities and visit Venice for a short time. But it's beautiful to sleep in Venice because you hear the water in the canals, and you hear, you know, the gondolas and the gondolieri singing. And it's lovely to sleep in the city and enjoy it every day. But you're not far. And again, train helps a lot in this respect. Not only train, also you have boats which connect you with the airport and with other city in the mainland. So think about Padova. Think about, it has become, the cycle of Giotto has become the World Heritage, UNESCO World Heritage this year. Think about Verona, of course, with its arena, but also with the Romeo and Juliet balcony and Verona. Verona and Padova are really less than an hour from Venice. So you can visit all the beautiful Palladian villas, which are on again in the inland, and which are absolutely worth to visit, not forgetting that you are not that far from Cortina in case you want to ski. I mean, Cortina will be hosting the Winter Olympics in 2026.
Okay.
And in that, I mean, it's the place where all the Venetians go skiing, and not only. It's an internationally famous ski resort. And on the way, you can find, of course, Val d'Obbiadene, so all the area of the Prosecco, which is also World UNESCO Heritage. And again, beautiful vineyards and beautiful places to have to have a sip of the Prosecco wine. So just to give you a few ideas of what you can find around Venice when you use it as a hub.
No, absolutely. And I was probably a little farther than that. When I was last in Venice, I went all the way up to the Dolomites, which was a bit of a haul, but it's close up there. So it was a
good. Yes, of course, Cortina is actually at the center of the Dolomites, it is the Dolomites and Cortina are of course split among several other regions. So not only Veneto, also Trentino, and all this area. So you can experience them both in summer and winter. And it is absolutely magnificent.
Wonderful. It's a great way to do it. I mean, people often think, you know, definitely stay in Venice for a few days, but also use it to visit other places. Now, just to sum up, we've looked at Milano, we've looked at Venezia. Right today, what would you say to Americans and American travel advisors about the keys to enjoying a trip to Italy today? What would you like to tell our travel advisors about what to do, and also where to get more information on about travel to Italy?
For information, of course, travel advisor rely very much also on our offices in New York and in Los Angeles, because we've been working during this one and a half year. Thanks to our offices in the US to support them and to partner with most travel advisors association, and having also this wonderful broadcasting of Italy with friends, which has allowed travel advisor to listen about all the experience that are possible in our country, and which has been told by the main characters of the different cities and destinations. The idea, the angle that you gave in this interview is very interesting. Using a city as a hub to visit around, and Rome and Florence and Naples and then Torino and Milano, Venice, which are the main, let's say, cities. You can also think about being in Bologna or in Genova, for instance, and use a city as a hub, and you will find around actually so much to do and to see that you can really plan a little bit a longer holiday, but you can also go for day trips, but also choose to stay in Florence one day and then move to the Chianti area, or move to Arezzo, or move to Cortona, or from Genova you can go from the Cinque Terre to Portofino and visit also others. So it is true that each city can be a hub for wonderful experiences, or you can combine different cities by connected by high speed train and then live different experiences from north to south. Italy is a city of is a country of cities,
right?
Traditionally, and so from the largest to the smaller villages, you really have different food and different traditions and different dialects that are spoken, so different, let's say, way of life and Italian lifestyle. It can be really very different from city and from area to area. So in that respect, I think, you know, you can really have it's a good point of view to start from the city and then to travel around in that area that you are, where you're staying.
Great. Well, Maria Elena, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak to us about Italy today, and specifically Milan and Venice, two of my favorite cities. There are many favorite cities in Italy. It's very hard to make a choice some days. And we are going to be doing another session talking about some of the other cities. But again, it's time to get back to Italy if you haven't gone, if your clients haven't gone, because it is the fall season is going to be a great time to visit. There's a lot going on, as you heard from Maria Elena. So please take advantage of this and let your clients take advantage of this time. Again, Maria Elena, thank you very much.
Well, it was a pleasure and hope to see you soon. Knowing that you're traveling to our country in a short while, but also all of you, and you can always count on us as the Italian Tourist Board to support any activities for information or support that you can ask to us. We are in the headquarters in Rome, but of course to our colleagues in New York and Los Angeles.
That's wonderful. And thank you again very much. And I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.